You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Scout the Game Week. Scout the Game Week is Fantasy Football Scout's weekly podcast. Brought to you by the Scout Network. In each episode, we'll look back at the game week we have just played to assess what we can learn to help us in the next round of fixtures. I'm your host, Ryan, from Football Chatbox. Let's scout the game week. This week, I'm joined by Mark to discuss the upcoming game week 27. How are you doing, Mark?
Away from football, I'm doing okay, thanks. Yes, off to Las Vegas next week with a wedding included. So that's something. And then FPL wise, I don't know, it might be a bad time to have me in a way, because I've just had a couple of red arrows which have undone a few green ones, so it's kind of confidence is down a bit on the team, transfers are going wrong all of a sudden, defenders are dropping, sort of struggling to get more than two defenders out. So yeah, it's Mixed bag, but I feel good about upcoming transfers and stuff like that. So let's hope that was the darkness before the dawn or something like that.
Fair enough. Well, I'm looking at your team right now. I got it open as well on the side. Overall, you've had your overall having like a pretty good season into the top 100K, nearing now that 50K mark. You were in kind of falling out, but now looking to try and get back in as well. I guess the assumption is. I can see why you mean like defenders are dropping like flies, but then again, they're dropping like flies everywhere for most people's defenses.
At least those who had Trent Alexander-Arnold, I wasn't one of those, but like they're probably, you know, the same situation as well. So
when it comes to Liverpool, I don't even, I had Trent, I sold him, I got Jota and Darwin, they also got injured. So I had the whole, all triple of my Liverpools that I got in, all of them got injured. I've had to deal with that. But that's now in the past, and we're looking forward to Game Week 27. And at the time we're recording, we've seen one half of the FA Cup results that have happened. Now, obviously, the second half of the FA Cup is tonight. But by the time this is out, you might have already watched this before the FA Cup or after the FA Cup. But let's get straight into it. Let's start with West Ham. Now, they won 4-2 and Bowen scored a hat-trick. Paqueta being back for the team definitely helps. But does this bring West Ham back into consideration with regards to players to consider for our team?
Oh, yeah. Honestly, it was heartbreaking watching Bowen do that, because I'm sort of a big Jared Bowen guy in FPL. Had him loads when he had that great season the other year. Had him all along. Had him for quite a lot of this season. So it felt like a betrayal to see him get that hat trick, because I recently sold him for Jota, which didn't go well, and would have bought him back now if it wasn't for the Hwang.
Yes.
Bowen would have been the next one, but once again, sort of went for the mass FOMO hype situation, and so to watch Bowen do that was, so yeah, he's definitely back in contention. regardless of what a manager does for free hit 29, I would say, even if certainly if they don't want a free hit,
yeah,
Bourne should certainly be one of the next three transfers. But even if the intention is to free hit, then he's still got Burnley.
Yeah,
game week 28.
Everton, Burnley, Villa. Not a bad set of three fixtures, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a nice set of games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not a fan of buying players directly after a hat trick because I feel like so often it's followed by a blank. But yeah, Bowen's definitely back in consideration. Arguably, shouldn't have been out of consideration, but I think it was seven games without a goal. So the form was definitely against them. But as you say, sort of Paqueta back and Kudus as well. Like, they're starting to get the band back together, and we've just seen an immediate rewarding of that for Bowen.
Yeah, exactly.
In terms of other players, Areola, no. Basically, would love to sell him. That home game with Burnley in game week 28 is probably his last chance for me, but it does feel like having him and Dubravka rotating for one spot, it's essentially choosing to play with 10 men right now.
Yes, I've had them for the last, I don't know how many weeks. I've basically been playing 10 men. At this point, I'm like, do they get 2 points today or do they get zero is where I'm at for the moment. But yeah,
the excitement is whether they get save points or not, because it's not going to be anything more than that. So Areola, no. Bowen, yes. And then beyond that, the only other one maybe would be sort of an outside punt on Kudus or Ward-Prowse, but apart from that, I think probably it's only Bowen that I'm personally looking to get in. What about you?
Me, I think Bowen has to be considered, especially like even those who are free hitting or not free hitting. Not free hitting, then you might consider. If you're free hitting, then you can probably look into game week 29. Although I think for this week specifically, a lot of us are probably looking at either Spurs. Probably looking at Bournemouth, especially people looking at Solanke before the injury news that came out, but we'll talk about that later. I think that's where the transfers are for this specific week. I also think, even though they scored four against Brentford, I do believe Everton are a better defensive team in terms, and so not going to be as easy for West Ham as they found it in terms of West Ham, in terms of against Brentford, but Paqueta being back and all, like the band being back together, definitely helps in terms of the attack going forward. So Burnley, Villa, not a bad set. And we'll get to Newcastle as well at the moment defensively. Looking in 30, in game week 30 if anyone wants, because if people are thinking in wildcard in 31 and you want that good 30 fixture as well, it's not a bad fixture at the moment. Okay, so West Ham, I think Bowen, and no one else probably. Kudus is a cheap option, but I still think Bowen is that talisman for that team. Now we'll go into City, but before we go into City, where do you stand so far with regards to like your chip strategy given the results that we've seen so far in the FA Cup?
I know some people online, some creators were sort of against free hit 29 the other week, but I disagreed completely. I love using free hits in the blanks because it feels like it can't go wrong, although those are dangerous words. Because, you know, if you just cover the four or five well-owned players who aren't going to hurt you and then just fill it with differentials, full 11, and then, you know, it can really, really boost the ranking. And after the last couple of weeks where, I've gone from 33K to like 57K, so love a free hit to sort of turn that around and get the season back on track. But suddenly people are looking at the teams and really getting into free hit 29. So, but then at the same time, it does depend on Wednesday's cup matches, because if Arsenal v Chelsea comes available, or Wolves versus Bournemouth, which we're halfway to, I've just bought Hwang and Solanke back in. So if their match is on, all of a sudden it's quite close to an 11. So, and it'll be a bit gutted with that, because if game week 29 becomes doable on its own, yeah. It feels like the chip might end up being wasted.
Yeah, many people want free hit as well, which means it kind of like, ideally you want managers in a situation where at least half are thinking of playing a chip and half are not thinking of playing a chip or something, where compared to, you don't want people all going, oh, we can field 11 without playing a chip, because you kind of want that differential as well in terms of being able to try and climb ranks. Otherwise, everyone starts to go very template, which has kind of been the season. This season so far, the template has been pretty strong as well. So it becomes a bit more harder to climb ranks, and you need those one or two players that go big for you to be on the right end of those things to be able to then climb ranks. So ideally, in a perfect scenario, I would love the chaos of people having to decide whether they free hit or not free hit, instead of us being driven into a situation where we're going, oh, we can field 11 easily. Now, if Wolves versus Bournemouth also comes through, it makes it like even more sense where people will load up more on Bournemouth, and especially Bournemouth because of the double in 28 and then having a fixture in 29. Whereas now, if that game doesn't happen in 29, people still have to decide, are they going to load up on Bournemouth in 28? If they do that, then they have to free hit in 29. Or do they want to like go minimal on Bournemouth, like just one or two players, or even one, maybe Solanke, and then not want to free hit in 29? So it kind of makes decisions. People have to make decisions, whereas compared to that fixture happening, then the decision is kind of taken away, is what I'm thinking. But yeah.
Yeah, it's I really don't want to waste it in the end. So it's kind of, so some of the reaction last night was people cheering on Brighton so that Wolves Bournemouth goes ahead, but secretly, not so secretly now, kind of want Wolves to do it just to make free hit 29 a thing. And then after that, I was thinking the template team, my team is very, very template. Mm. It's, which in itself is a problem, because no matter how many double digit holes are coming in from Saka and Watkins, it's doing nothing. Mm. So that's a problem. But it has good fixtures beyond 29, like 30, 31, 32. They're good fixtures. So I was thinking, well, three hit 29, and then wild card around 33, and then bench boost, whichever one of those later ones is more bench boosty. So that was kind of the plan. But and the other good thing with that is it frees up these next two free transfers. They can be anything. They don't have to be West Ham or Aston Villa players. Could be anything, because you can look beyond 30 with that. But yeah, but at the same time, I'd really love a proper goalkeeper as soon as possible, and someone like Branthwaite, and Estupinian is in defense, yep. Konsa, Charlie Taylor. So there could be a scenario where tonight I think it could look at a wild card 27 just for fun, because there's so many things I want to do to the team, but ultimately probably won't.
Fair enough.
Wild cards.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, I'm still on the wild card, probably 31, I'm thinking, is where I'm at. With the free hit, I am still open to it. And I think my decision will be made today after the Leeds versus Chelsea game, because I have triple Arsenal. Now, if triple Arsenal, the game doesn't happen in 29, then I kind of have to free hit, because I'll be forced into it because of that specific situation. But if that game happens, then I might be in a situation where I don't have to free hit in 29. It's very dependent on that game at the moment. And if, let's say, I don't free hit in 29, then I'll probably free hit in either 34 or 37, depending on which one, and bench boost in the other one. That's kind of where my plan is for the moment. So it's all dependent on today's FA Cup results, and then I'll have an idea of what I want to do. But yeah, so that's kind of the situation. And let's go to City from FA Cup results. Now, I want to talk about KDB first, because I bought him for the double. So he had one start in three games so far for KDB. I think that's by far the worst move I've done this season, hands down. But then he goes and gets 90 minutes against Luton and has four assists. And Haaland comes away with five goals. Where was this when double game week 25 was happening? I don't know. But now, the Manchester United is up next, the derby game. As a United fan, I think for City, that's probably an easy fixture, probably a great fixture to have City attackers for. And I've got triple City as well in Haaland, KDB, and Foden. You've got Foden and Haaland, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right, yeah.
Now, I want to first touch on KDB, because what would you recommend doing for those who have him?
It's hard to interpret the events of Tuesday night because, as a non-owner, I've been really relieved at his benchings, and I think he sort of had a blank in between the benching, so it's been great getting away with that. But what does this mean? Does it mean he's a cup player? The fact that he's getting 90 minutes in the cup games and what does that mean? Or does it mean he's back to his devastating best with 4 assists? And he did a tweet this morning saying, "Good morning, how may I assist you?" And it's like, oh man, if it sort of a
feels like he's back.
Confident De Bruyne could be juicy. And then you see all the unused subs like Foden and Rodri, Edison, Diaz, they were all unused. So what does that say in terms of the rankings? But at the same time, I think they're against Man United and Liverpool next. Yeah. And that those games are so big that De Bruyne probably will start both.
Yeah,
I would say likely, now.
If he's fit, yes. Which he should be after playing 90 minutes. But yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You might not admit it, just in the same way I'm down on my own team, but they are tough games, probably. Tough-ish.
They on paper they should be, but given how the thing is, where for me, if I was to be lightly optimistic, is our hope of trying to counter City on the break because of how transitional United have been recently. But at the same time, that transitional football helps City also to hit on the break, and this is where KDB can spring those passes over the top to Haaland, and Haaland is on the end of it, I guess.
Yeah, so there's a lot of logic to that. So owners, those who still have him, like yourself, I mean, you've already lived through the pain of the benchings. So at this point, so you may as well keep until
this upcoming week at least.
Either a wild card Salah switch or dead ending the team or something like that. But for the next 2 weeks, the worst is probably over with De Bruyne.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I don't know what Pep does Pep things, to be honest. So we never know what he'll do for the upcoming games. Foden, Haaland, still the next or the best City options apart from that?
Yeah, it seems like every time I sort of got nervous about Foden, I think he went 3 games between his hat trick and the goal last week, he blanked in 3, and I'm thinking, oh, that maybe it's time, maybe that rotation comes now. And then he scores the only goal at Bournemouth and gets rested in the cup game, and it's like, oh yes, I think Pep's seen it now. Like, for so long, he never quite gave him the keys, but I think he's got them now. And yeah, he's a great option to have. I was at one point sort of looking, well, when Salah came on and when Jota and Darwin got injured and Salah came on, I was thinking, oh, well, Salah for Foden game week 27 could happen, but it's definitely not for reasons with both of them. It's not happening now. And yeah, he's a really good option. Haaland, he's been a bit disappointing as captaincy recently.
Yes. I'm wondering whether that has to do with KDB not being there is my issue.
Well, certainly, yeah. Certainly last night's events, 5 goals in a match with KDB around does suggest it might have been. So he's, of course, in. And Foden's done nothing wrong. I don't own a City defender. Mm. They have kept a couple in a row, but I'm hoping that might be it.
Predicting City defense has been hard, right? Because people thought Walker was the certain one. And he got benched before the double and then came on, got that 12-pointer for the double and then got benched again in 26.
Yeah. And then when Ake, when Guardiol got hurt, it was like, oh, well, at least Ake's in for a while. Benched straight away. So I just don't want to play that game.
Yeah, fair. Unless you go Ederson, which is a very expensive keeper. But there's not much upside to it, so...
It would solve if money wasn't an issue, that would solve the Areola Dubravka one. Yeah. So if for short term, you got the money to do that for the next 3 or 4 game weeks, maybe.
Maybe. Actually, talking about keepers, let's go to Bournemouth. Now they have Burnley and double up next. And the game in 29, like we mentioned, depends on the FA Cup results for Wolves against Brighton. Now, if they do get that fixture in 29, could Neto be an option for goalkeeper?
Yeah, totally. He was definitely the first name sort of that came up when I was thinking about this, because it's not so much a confidence in Bournemouth's defence, because they haven't kept a clean sheet this year. They kept 4-7 at the end of last year, but then it stopped. So it's not so much a confidence in their defence. It would just be the quality of fixtures plus the quantity of them. Their next three games are the promoted sides, yep, in sequence. And that looks good as Luton have looked at times. It's kind of, surely in that run, there's at least one clean sheet there for Neto. So definitely thinking about him. I was looking at Senesi as well, because when they had that really good run last year, he scored twice in a row. So I think he's the number four defender since game week 12, I think it was. So he's an interesting prospect as well. But decided to just go for a defender instead, fight one of those defensive fires with maybe take a Stupinian out for Senesi. So yeah, on top of Solanke, probably, you know, either a Bournemouth defender or Alfie Doherty probably comes in.
Yep, fair enough.
High next week. And then Iriola said about Solanke, we have to assess him.
Mm.
I hope it's not something big and he can help us this weekend. So there's a little bit of uncertainty over Solanke now for this Burnley match. But you would think that certainly by the double, he'd be back, because that was a fairly positive-ish update. It was sounded quite precautious.
For me specifically, it's like I've got Darwin still in my team. And the ideal move that I wanted to make this week, which I haven't made, I was waiting till the FA Cup just to see that nothing happens. I was going to do Darwin to Solanke this week. Now, obviously, the news came out with the injury, so I guess we kind of have to wait for Friday press conference to see if there's a further update on that. So I'm still waiting to see whether I should do that move or not. If there's more positive update on the Friday press conference, then I might most likely do it. If not, I might think about what do I do for this week. Do I roll a transfer? Or if the game happens in 29 for Bournemouth, I might probably do the goalkeeper move of moving one of Dubravka or Areola out to maybe a Neto, just because of the fixtures. Even though Areola has a fixture in 29, the quality of potential clean sheet fixtures for Bournemouth are way better than West Ham's potential clean sheet options. So that could potentially pay off. With Senesi, the one issue I have is he's on 8 yellow cards at the moment. So there is that possibility he gets a yellow in 27, gets a yellow in the first game of 28, and then he's missing for the second game of 28 because of the 10-game yellow card suspension. So
yeah, well, the way things have been going recently, that probably will happen, because the last few transfers are sold Bowen for Jota. Mm. Jota's now injured.
Oh no.
Sold Solanke for Darwin Darwin got injured straight away. And then Solanke hauled at Newcastle.
Yeah.
And then took a 4-point hit to bring Solanke and Hwang in.
Oh no. And Solanke's now
dumped. And Solanke's now hurt. Yeah. So the whole thing's just awful at the moment.
I guess the question everyone wants to know is, who are you bringing in this week?
Yeah, there was a couple of replies like that. Just whatever you do, do the opposite.
Okay.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Things have been going okay for a while, but yeah, bit of a bad transfer.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, if Solanke is injured in the forward line, would Semenyo be an option for people to look at, or would we people maybe go for like Morris? Because you're not going to go for both, because the double in 28, most likely people are going to have Haaland and Watkins alongside one of these strikers. Where would you go?
Semenyo, he's been a sort of a solid option throughout the season, because he's the cheap budget striker that he was the same price as Archer, but he was actually doing stuff.
Yeah.
And even now he does seem to be probably in Iriola's first 11. So certainly if Solanke is out, you would hope that solidifies him a bit further. But then as you say, he's a good budget enabler, but there probably wouldn't be the same confidence that there would be in Solanke.
Yep, fair enough. So then in that specific situation, I guess when we get to 28, we'll know. With a single game maker becomes a captaincy option over there. We still put it on the double game maker.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So we'll see how what happens for the FA Cup for Wolves versus Brighton. But let's move over to Spurs. Now, they have a fixture in 29 that many might be looking for Spurs players to get in this week. They're facing a Crystal Palace team with a new manager who plays a very pressing game as well. Which was, I guess, evident in their last game against Burnley. So what's your feeling with regards to Spurs players? Because they've had a break. Unfortunately, we haven't seen a game yet to know what that break is going to look like. We saw Arsenal have a break and come back and look like set-piece monsters for some reason now. Spurs, on the other hand, we're still waiting on Pedro Porro as well. We don't know the injury situation on him. Maybe he'll be better. We don't know. So what's your regards like in terms of Spurs players? Who do you recommend to get?
Yeah, it's an interesting match because it's a team who's had a break versus a new manager bounce. So there is a bit of uncertainty around that. And in Palace, they kept a clean sheet at the weekend. And their underlying stats have been okay, even though the clean sheets had stopped for a while. So it's not going to be easy for Spurs. But I think a good thing about game week 27 is that, again, there's no early kickoff. So I think the first match, well, there's actually six of them at the same time. The six Saturday 3 p.m. UK time games. So there's potentially up to 12 pre-deadline team leagues, which was great for someone like me who has Porro and Estupiñán. Like it'd be a decision to see whether the transfer gets rolled or whether one of those guys hasn't made it, because if Porro and those Udogie owners as well, you know, if they come back, that will be of interest. It would be nice to find out pre-deadline.
Yep.
Either them. And still got Richarlison, so I would recommend him. I'm quite happy to have him. Although at the same time, there's a real benching dilemma going on for this week because as a Newcastle fan, there's no way Huang has been benched against this lot.
Yeah.
Absolutely no way. But then if it's not Huang getting benched, it probably has to be Richarlison. So they've all got good fixtures. So that's a bit irritating.
Yep.
But Spurs, Spurs players, if knowing that they have game week 29 guaranteed and they've got Fulham, Luton and Nottingham Forest nearby, I would definitely recommend getting some. And I'd imagine some people are, if they want a differential for sure, Sun Heung-min could be. He's the best type of differential. He's the ones where he is low owned, but he is a proven elite FPL asset who will definitely score goals. So he's like, you're getting a huge. There's no risk with Sun, really.
Yeah, true.
So, by them, not sure about the others though. Like Madison, I don't know. I like him, but I'd probably rather have Sun or Richarlison.
Fair enough. Yeah, I think Richarlison still. Probably is that number 9. The only thing is, now that everyone's back, I think his number of minutes will reduce, which we kind of seen in the last couple games at least. That's probably one thing to consider. Sun, obviously still really good option. Just tend to play left wing though for the moment. So a bit of question marks in terms of how effective he can be on the left compared to playing that number 9 spot. But then if Richarlison gets subbed off, chances are Sun could move to the striker spot as well. For those last few minutes, so we'll have to kind of wait and see in terms of that. Porro, if Porro is fit, will you play him for this game? Or I have a question, would you play, now I've got Reguilón, would you play a Reguilón at home against a Chelsea team that has played like 120 minutes?
Yeah, that's fair, and as far as we know, they could play 120 minutes tonight as well.
Yes, that's a good game. Yeah,
it could also go all the way, and in that case it's sort of back to back.
Yeah,
120 minutes. That is interesting for sure. Maybe that means Palmer gets him. Maybe the benching dilemma goes that way. But and I think again you get early. I think Chelsea one of the early games there. Yes. So
yeah.
And Reguilón, I would still play Porro if we know that he starts. But whether it's through injury or sort of losing form a bit, it has sort of calmed down with him, unfortunately. So, Reguilón, it's
the hard one.
He's just got minus 1 points at West Ham, so it's kind of hard to be high on him right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it would be intriguing if Chelsea
do play another 120. Yeah.
Against Leeds, have a hard time of it. Who knows what state they're in?
Fair enough. Okay, that's one tomorrow to see. Okay, let's end it with captaincy. Who are your captain options for this week?
Haaland has been a captaincy disappointment because he got one goal as triple captain and that was late. And then he just assisted last week. So that has been frustrating. But then just as hope slightly goes away, he scores 5 goals in a cup match. So, and he has a good record against Man United. It's 5 goals and 3 assists from his 3 league meetings. So I think it's him. There are some other really good games elsewhere, though.
Saka against Sheffield.
Saka at Sheffield United. He's 7 goals from 5. Mm. So I've been doing a bit of a stats thing in preparation. You know, over his last 5 games, he's averaging 11.8 per match, which is just obscene. Has he got a tough opponent up next? Oh, no, he doesn't.
No.
So that is a great option, Saka. And Solanke at Burnley could have been one, but there's enough doubt there.
Yeah.
I think Bournemouth had a Sunday match, so we won't even get, unless Areola is very kind in his press conference, it's probably too risky. So and Watkins maybe at Luton, but it's probably going to be Haaland for me out of safety. But Saka is very interesting as an option.
We spoke about leaks, right? What if Salah was to start?
Even if he was to start, it's, you know, will he get the whole game?
Yeah, that's true.
That's a tough one. And it's not like we're lacking in captaincy options and then Salah comes to save the day. Even if Salah starts, we've got two good ones there. Yep. So I think it would still probably go with Haaland with Saka just behind. But yeah, that would throw an extra option amongst it, wouldn't it? Completely. Are you
on Haaland? Yeah, I've been on Haaland. I was set on Haaland even before the 5 goals, purely because of how United are playing. They've considered 100 shots in the last 5 games, which is an astronomical figure. So I'm like, yeah, it's got to be Haaland. The thing with Haaland is he's been disappointing in captaincy, but then at the same time, KDB hasn't played in 2 of those games in the last 3 as well. So that kind of also plays a part to it. Now, if I see KDB starting this game, which will we get leaks? No, probably not. Well, we might get leaks. We don't know. Probably.
Maybe, because the ITKs are quite good.
Yeah, that's right.
Thankfully.
So we might get some kind of information whether KDB is playing or not. So if we do get that information, which I guess we kind of expect him to start, I'm most likely going to captain Haaland with Saka being the vice captain. It's a shame because Saka has a really good fixture. But equally, I think this United team at the moment, without Shaw and Martinez, it's a big loss. And I don't think Hoyland's still going to be fit as well. So attacking-wise also, there isn't going to be much threat. So City will most likely have most of the ball. That's where I'm at in terms of captaincy. And before we leave, we do have a community question from... let me bring it up. We've got one question from FPL Shake and Break, Brett. So does Mark expect Newcastle to prioritise the FA Cup over the league, leading to better Newcastle assets potentially being rested in the Premier League games? Now, a lot of people have Gordon as an option. Where do you stand with that?
I don't think they particularly will be prioritising, mainly because even though the bodies are starting to come back now, and there's actually 9 professional footballers on the bench last night, which was a huge relief, but they're still not really the players there to rotate Gordon with. There is a situation where it could be Barnes on the left, Isak up front, but because they're both sort of being eased back themselves, and then, you know, Gordon is the consistent one. He scored last night as well. So Gordon is the main man in attack right now. So, and things are going not too well. I think the last thing you want to do is sort of drop your best player. So I think Gordon's probably safe. And then it's sort of going to be two out of Isak, Almiron, Murphy and Barnes. And then further back, like Trippier. Trippier, to be fair, he could, you know, maybe he does get arrested in one game because he's not. Unfortunately, he has slipped a bit. Declined a bit over the last few months. So there's a big push amongst the fans for Livramento to get more game time. He came in for a period, did brilliantly, and then was straight back to the bench again when Dan Burn came back. So there is a scenario where Livramento gets one of the games, perhaps ahead of Trippier. But I think Pope's not too far away, but I don't think it'll affect the next few game weeks. I think Newcastle will probably not be rotating, because I think Howe is in a position where every win is really important right now, and the performances have been so bad. Sort of really got away with it at Blackburn in the cup, and got away with it with draws against Luton and Bournemouth. So I think he doesn't want to put pressure on himself. There's a lot of goodwill with him, of course, but you know, if things go a certain way over the next few weeks, there could start to be pressure, and I just don't think there's a reason to risk it. I think Gordon is probably safe.
Fair enough. All right. Okay. Cool. So we'll end it with that. Thank you for your time today, Mark. Do you have anything to plug?
Fantasy Football Scout's sister site, Fantasy Football Community, is a brilliant place. So as well as FPL coverage, it's a really big place for Champions League fantasy, probably the best out there. And there's also a sort of Bundesliga, Serie A, MLS fantasy coverage. And I know myself and Lewis, FPL Reactions, we have a weekly podcast as well that's worth a listen alongside yours, which is also on Spotify. So just there, really, Fantasy Football Community. Check it out.
Okay, and obviously Champions League is coming next week. So for anyone, like you mentioned, right, looking for articles, you can find it all over there. And also you can find me, Football Chatbox, on YouTube, where I do weekly videos and deadline streams. And also if you come up to this point, make sure to hit the like on the video and subscribe as well to Fantasy Football Scout. That's it for this week's Scout the Game Week. I'll be back after Game Week 27 and looking ahead to double Game Week 28. Green aerosol.